I'll take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being a God that is able to hear and meet the individual needs. Lord, this great host of people that are here today, hundreds and probably thousand or so people, and yet you care about each little child, each little boy and girl, each teenager, each adult, each senior citizen. Lord, you know our needs even before we know them. The Holy Spirit of God, do your work through our preacher, please. Change our hearts, change our lives. May we do more for you because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning's sermon may be more for me than it is for you. So I suppose I might just say you may listen in if you would like. I hope that you will. I was recently looking at a book. In the book, there were a lot of just a little amazing facts. And they were cute. I wrote a few of them down. I want to share them with you before I really get into the base of the sermon. And it doesn't take much to amaze me, but I was amazed at some of these things. In the book, it said that on a dime, 10 cents, there are 118 ridges around this edge. I've asked Brother Bush to count them for me, but he's not got it done yet. In this book, it said that a cat has 32 muscles in one ear, and that amazed me. I didn't know it, but the book said that a crocodile cannot stick out its tongue. And I got to thinking, I've never seen one stick out its tongue, so I suppose that's true. I didn't know that the almond was a member of the peach family. That was new to me. I didn't know this. I didn't know it said that an ostrich's eye is bigger than its brain. And I knew that about Brother Young, but I did not know that about an ostrich. In the book, it said it is impossible for a human being to sneeze with their eyes open. And since then, I've tried to sneeze to see, but I can't get it done. You all remember that and test it. Not during the service this morning. The state of Maine is the only state whose name is just one syllable. I didn't know this. No word in the English language rhymes with the word orange, or the word month, or the word silver, or the word purple. Now, don't spend the rest of the service trying to figure one out, but none rhyme with those words. I didn't know that peanuts were a part of the ingredients for dynamite. So better watch how many you eat. I didn't realize that there were more chickens in the world than people. You're worried about the Muslims. We better worry about the chickens. This really broke my heart. I didn't realize that in Flintstone's chewable vitamins, there's no Betty Rubble. Something's wrong there. Must have been contract negotiations fall apart. I didn't know this. I didn't know that Winston Churchill was born in a ladies' room during a dance. goes to show you, no matter how hard you start out, you can start up, you can end up on top. That's an incredible thing. I don't know why I jotted those things down. I do know this. I know many, many months ago, God began to deal with my heart about the topic of this morning. I was waiting for the right moment to preach it. I call the sermon this morning, Stay Amazed. Stay Amazed. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 7, we read it together a little while ago. It says, And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? This is the amazing story of the day of Pentecost. Peter would have been the primary preacher on this day, and it was God's plan to get the gospel to the people around the world. The Bible teaches that devout men from every nation under the sun had gathered to hear the gospel. And the amazing thing is they all spake the language of their country, and now they're all in one place. The Bible teaches us that when Peter began to preach to these people with mixed ability in regard to their languages that they spoke, that a very miraculous thing took place. They all heard him preach in their own language. God did something miraculous that day. God did something miraculous with Peter's voice and did something miraculous with their ears. And the Holy Spirit took that thing, and just so you know, it wasn't a bunch of gibberish, weird sounds they heard in their own language. All you have to do is look and read the scripture. It makes it very clear right there. But when Peter began to preach, the Bible says that they were all amazed. Now, let me tell you this. The big occurrence of the day had not even taken place yet, and these people are already amazed. Peter's up preaching the gospel, and there are people from around the world, and they're hearing in their own language, the Bible says. And the Bible teaches us that the people that were there were just amazed at what was happening. But wait a minute. They haven't seen anything yet, because as a result of all of this, there is about to be an altar call where 3,000 people are going to come forward and get born again, get baptized, and join the church. That's a big to-do. Well, these people were amazed at the beginning of the service. Can you imagine how amazed they were at the end of the service? But here's the great thing about it. Not only were these people amazed on the day of Pentecost and the salvations that occurred, but this group stayed amazed. The way I know that is they had a big day on the day of Pentecost, but you find out there were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, some believe, as many as 60,000 people saved in the next 6 months at the New Testament Church of Jerusalem. Evidently, they were not just amazed on the opening day of the revival. They stayed amazed. They stayed amazed. And folks, let me say to you, you need to stay amazed. Stay amazed at what God is doing in your life. Stay amazed at what God is doing in our church. And I'll tell you this. You can be amazed for a moment because you get caught into the emotional moment or maybe a weekend where something happens. But if you're going to stay amazed, you're going to stay amazed because you have character and you decided to stay amazed. Stay amazed. You know, let me say this. Good people lead God's will because they don't stay amazed. Good people lead God's will because they don't stay amazed at what God is doing. Let me say to everybody here, those of you that are long-time fundamentalists, you see, I've been in the church, you know, for a coon's age. I've been in the church all the way back since Noah came across on the ark. I've just been in the church for a long time. Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to stay in the right kind of church for a long time, you're going to have to stay amazed. You have to stay amazed. Just so you know, God's not creating any new Bibles or anything like that. You're going to have to stay amazed with the ones he's already given us. You say, well, it's the same old, same old. Hey, the things of God are fresh and new. The problem is not God. The problem may be you. But stay amazed. Hey, those of you remember back when you first got into the church, you remember back when the touch of God came upon a service and you sat there in awe of what God is doing. You could be in awe again if you'd stay amazed. just stay amazed. Hey, second generation Christian, let me say this to you. Get amazed. Get amazed. There's some of you, when you didn't get saved until later in life. And when you got into church and God began to do some things, you became amazed. You said, wow, look what God's doing. I'm recommending to those of you that were saved later in life, you better stay amazed. But some of you, you were saved when you were a little type. You were just a little one. And you know something? You better get amazed. You better get amazed. And hey, young people, if at one time you were amazed, then stay amazed. Listen, once again, God is doing something in our midst. I'm recommending that you stay amazed. Let me show you what I mean. First of all, stay amazed at the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Just stay amazed. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? What was happening is Peter and the men that he had gathered around him were preaching the gospel, and everybody knew that these were Galileans, but when they were speaking in the language of these people from around the world. It was a miraculous intervention, and everybody around was saying, wow, this is preaching. This is preaching. They were amazed at how God went to such lengths to make an impact, using preaching to make the impact. That's what he did. God used preaching to amaze them. And folks, let me say this to you. Never underestimate the power of the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 61, verse number 1, that Jesus was a preacher. And I thank God for that. Jesus was a preacher. But folks, stay amazed at the power of preaching and the power of the preaching of the Word of God. These people here in Acts chapter 2, verse number 7, they were amazed at the preaching that was going on. And if I could, they stayed amazed because this thing kept on going and going and going. They were amazed the day of Pentecost, but 6 months later, they were still amazed at the preaching of the Word of God. Do you remember? You remember when you left that old dead, dry church out yonder, wherever it was, and you passed, and you walked into an old-time church that preached the gospel without apology, an old-time church where the preacher got up, split his britches, the old-time preacher that got up and shut the corn, the old-time preacher that didn't back down, couldn't be shut off, shut down by anybody, and the preacher that said, thus saith the Lord, and you said, I like that. Stay amazed. Stay amazed. Stay amazed. Remember when you heard that old-time preaching? Remember, hey, listen, folks, you remember that. Some of you won't, but you weren't here when it happened. But I remember one Sunday morning, we had the morning preaching service. God got into things, and people started coming down the aisle like they so often do, and a prostitute walked down the aisle. She was sitting right over here, got on her knees. Somebody wanted the Lord Jesus Christ. She went down on her knees. A prostitute came up off her knees, a born-again Christian, sat right there, made public her salvation, followed the Lord and believers' baptism. Y'all remember that? Stay amazed. There's no telling who's here today. Stay amazed. You say, well, I remember back in the Bible when one of them prostitutes got saved. That's amazing. It happened right here in this auditorium. That's amazing. Stay amazed at the preaching of the Word of God. Some of you know this. It wasn't maybe about 3 years ago now. I was going up into Canada to preach at a conference. And I received a letter from Canada, a threat on my life. And in the letter, it stated, if you come to Canada, I'm going to kill you. I will kill you if you come to Canada. Now, Mr. Mongan will tell you, he and I talked. I said, I don't know what to do. I was a little fearful of going. I wonder what in the world? I'm going to another country. They threatened to kill me if I come. And so, thanks the advice Brother Mongan said, good luck, buddy. Oh, we thought about telling the authorities up there, but we just left it alone. And I went, I tell you what, I was scared. I went and I was looking around while I was at the conference, and I remember approaching the pulpit, and I thought, boy, I just don't want to get shot in the pulpit. Now, some of you would like to shoot me in the pulpit, but I don't want to get shot in the pulpit, you know, bleeding in front of everybody. That'd be embarrassing. And but I got up and I just preached. I just had to put it out of my mind, and I had to act like the threat was not there. And I preached, and I gave it my best, and the invitation came, and people came down the aisle. People were at the altar, and when I was all done, I was walking back, and somebody walked over to me and said, I'm the one. I'm the one that threatened to kill you. But tonight, as you were preaching, God got a hold of me. I came to the altar and got saved and got right with God. And I'm sorry I threatened you like that. Let me tell you something. Stay amazed. Stay amazed at what the preaching can do and what God can do through the preaching of the Word of God. You remember the morning that Dr. Carl Hatch was here. God bless him. He's watching from heaven today. But you remember the morning Dr. Carl Hatch stood. He began to preach. He preached his testimony about what God had done for him. And that morning he gave the invitation. 101 people coming from every aisle, from the balcony, they flooded this altar, all 101, trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Hey, let me ask you something. Are you amazed? Are you as amazed today when one gets saved as you were back on the amazing event of the day that Carl Hatch was here? Let me tell you something. The ones that get saved today, they're as important as the ones that got saved when Carl Hatch was here. Stay amazed. Or has the preaching of the Word of God lost its amazement to you? Has it lost its amazement? Let me tell you something. You'll end up out in some place where they'll preach false doctrine to you because you let the truth lose its amazement to you. You say, I want something new. There's nothing new under the sun. You better stay amazed with what God's already given you. Stay amazed. Stay amazed, I say, as they did in Acts 2:7 about the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Secondly, stay amazed about God's healing power. The Bible says in Acts 3:10, they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. Here the Bible says there was amazement in this story, and it's a story of healing. Peter and John are going into the temple. There was a lame man there from his youth. The lame man was begging. The Bible says that in Acts 3:6, it says, Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible says that this man was lame. He could not walk. Peter and John were walking through. The man says, give me. The man, Peter said, I don't have any gold to give you, but I can give you something better than gold. I can give you Jesus Christ. And Peter reaches down, grabs the man's hand, picks him up, and the man's legs are suddenly healed. And the man walks away, and everybody that seen it happen said, I'm amazed. I am amazed. Let me tell you something, my friend. You and I have an awful lot to be amazed about when it comes to the healing of God. You know, there's only one possibility in the whole universe for you to be healed of the common cold. God. God. Man can't figure it out. You just watch your body. You cut yourself. You can watch the God of the universe work a miracle as your body begins to mend your body. And that is a miracle of the God of the universe. You better stay amazed what God's done for you. He does the healing. He does it. I think of Joanne Cave. God bless that gal, what she's been through in regard to her health, a brain tumor. But right back here she says, more than one time I thought, we're going to lose her. That old C word, that cuss word, cancer, had gotten into her body, and it was going to take her over. But thank God, God still heals people. God still heals. Hey, I think of Morgan Graham. Morgan had very severe type of fibromyalgia. And if you watched her walk around here for the last year or two, a cane and barely able to walk, and then God stepped in and we watched God begin to help her through some therapy, and now I watch her be bumping across the parking lot just like all the other teenagers. Say, hey, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, you get to see so many things happen around here. If you're not careful, it'll become old hat. If you're not careful, you think you can do better. If you're not careful, you're going to say, well, I'm just used to that. My goodness gracious, we woke up this morning, we breathed in God's air, we're in a place where God is doing a work. Stay amazed. Stay amazed. I mentioned Brother Mongan earlier. That man sitting right back there, many of you do not know him. But just not many years ago now, Brother Mongan ended up with some infection in his legs. And I'll be honest, I don't know if most of you know this. But while that infection in his legs had creeped up both legs further and further, he was going to die. Let's be quiet over here. Everyone quiet over here. And everybody look right this way. Paul, I think you know, he was dying. They had virtually said he will die in the next 24 hours if his legs are not amputated. They wheeled him in, took off his legs. Now, that man right back there, he walks around and gets around better than most of you. God salvaged his life, and God salvaged his body, and is alive and well today and able to help serve in this church. That's a miracle, Paul. It's a miracle what God did for you. It's a miracle that God spared your life. And everybody here better stop and realize you need to stay amazed at God's healing power and what God does with the human body. You stay amazed. Hey, Joan Cain, stay amazed that you're alive and well. A gal that suffered with cancer, it could have taken her life. Hey, ladies, don't forget. Don't forget the miracle of childbirth. Stay amazed. Stay amazed. Story in the Bible, and everybody look right this way. I've got interruptions going on around me. Look right this way. Don't let the devil steal the moment from you. Stay amazed. Story in the Bible where Jesus had met a blind man, and Jesus, he spits in the dirt and makes some mud and puts it on the blind man's eyes, and the man comes forth after washing, and he can see. Hey, listen. The first time you watch God do something a bit miraculous in regard to the body or the healing, you were amazed. He's still doing it. Stay amazed. Stay amazed at the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Stay amazed at what God is doing in healing our bodies and sparing our bodies. Hey, thirdly, stay amazed. Stay amazed at how God changes lives. Stay amazed at how God changes lives. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse number 21, that all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyeth him which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, for he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Here the Bible says these folks were amazed at something. You say, what is it? This is about a man that originally his name was Saul, but later on his name was turned to Paul. He started out as Saul. He was originally the enemy of Christians. He consented into the stoning death of a man by the name of Stephen. He was known, this man named Saul was known for persecuting the church and persecuting men of God. But he gets saved. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse number 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? That's the apostle Paul, or Saul, getting saved. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse number 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Here's a guy by the name of Saul. He is a persecutor of Christians. He hates Christians. He's trying to destroy the church. One day, he meets the Lord on the Damascus Road. He gets saved. He goes and gets baptized. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 17, the Bible says he was then filled with the Spirit of God. And God almost immediately puts him in the pulpit to preach. And the Bible says this guy went from persecuting Christians. He walks into town. He walks into a pulpit, and he begins to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody in the church was amazed. They were amazed. They said, and this is what it says in the scripture, is this not the man that wanted to kill us yesterday, and now he's trying to help us to have life in Christ Jesus? Is not this the man that hated Christians? Is not this the man that would burn down our church if he had a chance? Hey, he would have destroyed the pulpit in which he stood on Monday. He would have destroyed and burned it on the Sunday before. What happened? He got saved. And everybody was amazed at the change of life for this man that was once Saul and is now Paul. But you know something? You ought to stay amazed when God's changing lives. I'm amazed. To this day, I'm amazed at how God has changed my life and groomed me and loved me and has been patient with me. Somebody here needs to examine how far God has brought you. Somebody here today, you need to look back to the filthy, rotten, vile way you were living and how Jesus saved you and put your feet on a solid rock and began to clean you up and doctor you up and fix you up. Stay amazed. Stay amazed at the life-changing power of God. I'm amazed at what God can do. I'm amazed when I hear the stories of the Bible and how Jesus got involved with somebody's life and their life changed and how God was able to make them from being useless for the cause of Christ to being used for the cause of Christ. Stay amazed at the life changing that God can do. I'll tell you a story. Lady came to visit our church. She was a member of the United Methodist Church. No longer, though, do they have evening services. And so she could go to her church on Sunday morning, come to our church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. She started coming. She liked it. Believe me, this is a lot different than the Methodist church. Come to find out, she was on the pastoral staff. She's a reverend. Had graduated from the Wesleyan Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. with a Master of Divinity degree and was on the staff of the church. She kept coming Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Heard the truth. Heard it preached. Heard what we do around here. Watched it happen. One night, she's standing in my line to get counsel. She said, Pastor Owen, she introduced herself, told me part of the story. She said, I'm on the staff of a United Methodist church in the area. She said, but I'm wrong and we're wrong. What's going on around here is right. She said, what do I do? I said, you need to get out of that mess. I said, you need to resign. She said, I want to. I said, now you do it appropriately. You give them the proper notice. You do what's right, and then you just need to get out. She has sat in this church ever since. Now Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Stay amazed! Stay amazed! You have any idea what's happening in the local New Testament church? Stay amazed at what God can do! Stay amazed at what God is doing. And let me tell you something. I could go around this auditorium and I could point in every section and I could show you somebody else that God has miraculously reached down, saved them, put their feet on a solid rock and started changing their lives. I can take it back into the hollers of West Virginia on some of those mountains and people that have come here that have changed their life as a result of what God's doing in this place. Are you amazed? Are you amazed? I thank God when I woke up this morning, I realized it was preaching time. I've preached over 20, almost 25,000 sermons. I'm as excited right now about preaching the Word of God as I was the very first time as a 16-year-old boy. Let me tell you something. After you preach 25,000 sermons, you better get amazed and stay amazed. Stay amazed, my friend. Stay amazed at the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Stay amazed at God's healing ability and what He has done in your body and what He does on a regular basis among our people. Stay amazed at how God changes lives. Hey, number four, stay amazed at the mighty power of God. Stay amazed. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 43, it says, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. While they wondered, everyone, at all things which Jesus did, He said unto His disciples. Now here the Bible says in verse number 43 that they were all amazed. Here's what had happened. A man brought his son who was possessed of an unclean spirit to Jesus. He said, my son, he says to Jesus, my son cries out unpredictably. My son, he foams at the mouth. My son, his body is bruised and cut. Please, Jesus, this spirit that is within my son, cast the spirit out of my son. My son acts like an animal. My son behaves like an animal. And the Bible says that Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit and He heals the child. And God, and here God chose to put in the Bible, that this amazed everybody. This amazed everybody. What had happened? They said, wow, look at what the power of God can accomplish. Well, the power of God is constantly accomplishing things if we would just stop and look. But you must stay amazed. Stay amazed at His power. Stay amazed at His power to keep the sun in the sky. Isn't that amazing to you? We just get so used to it. We just expect it's going to be there. I'll tell you something. If God decided to take the sun away from us for a day, that'd be a bad mess. Stay amazed at His power to cause the sun to rise and set. Stay amazed at His power to cause the stars to shine. One week we had decided here at the church, and many of you will remember it, we decided that we were going to declare war on alcohol. We put some signs down here at Highway 11 that said, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church declares war on alcohol. We towed in a Ernie's salvage yard up here. Let us have a vehicle that had been in a drunk driving accident. You remember, it's just crushed. Almost crushed beyond beyond recognition. We brought it out and we showed everybody that I think it was a pickup truck, and it was smashed up out here and all beat up. That Saturday morning. Now all day on that Sunday, we were going to preach sermons all day against alcohol and booze. It's time for some preachers to climb back in the pulpit and preach against the boozing again. But that Sunday morning and Sunday night, all day was attributed toward preaching against alcohol and its results, and trying to tell our kids to stay away from it and try to help people. That Saturday morning, we were having our prayer meeting. Man was driving up Highway 11 out here and pulled in. Someone said, you ought to go down there and get some help. Saturday morning, before the big day against alcohol, that man walked in, not knowing what he was getting into, walked into our men's prayer meeting that Saturday morning. Two of our men got a hold of him, asked him about Jesus Christ. The man had admitted to them, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drunk. Men, I think Brother Dave Young and Brother Mike Schanenberger pulled this man aside, walking down the Romans Road. Man prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him. A drunk. That man came to church, walked down the aisle, made public his salvation, followed the Lord in believers' baptism. He sits right up here years later, Brother Rick Amber. A greeter here at the church. He'd tell you right now, he said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Let me tell you something. Jesus is still changing lives. Jesus and the power of God is still available. Everybody's wanting to close down shop and stop having services on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And they're thinking, well, you know, we're not getting anywhere in this day and age. The power of God is more powerful than this day and age. God's still working and God's still doing something. Thank God for that power that changes lives. Stay amazed. Better stay amazed when you see a bird fly. That's an amazing thing. You say it is not, well, let's see you do it. Stay amazed. Stay amazed that fish can swim. Stay amazed. Did you know that the shark is the only, is a shark considered a mammal? Is it a fish? I think the shark is the only fish that can blink both eyes at one time. All the rest of them have weird eyes, you know. That's amazing. That's the first time you moved during service. I'm amazed. Stay amazed. Stay amazed. Hey, listen, stay amazed that our God is the one that controls the ocean. Stay amazed. Stay amazed that He is the one that determines who gets rain and who does not. Stay amazed. Stay amazed that He has numbered the hairs on your head. Stay amazed. Stay amazed at that. Some of you better just stay amazed you have any hair on your head. And when it gets to the point where you look in the drain in the morning and there's more down there than what's left, you're getting down to it now. Stay amazed. Stay amazed at the mighty, unstoppable, unmatchable power of God. Stay amazed. Stay amazed at what God can do. Stay amazed. These people on the day of Pentecost, when Peter, the others got up, began to preach, everybody said, this is amazing. They had not seen anything yet, because it would only be about an hour or two before 3,000 people get saved. And I think they were amazed then. And then if you follow the history of that church for months and months and months and months, it just kept on happening and kept on happening. And I think that's because some people, they stayed amazed. I believe if God had worked and they were amazed at a moment, but they lost their amazement, they would have lost the power of God. I believe if they had been amazed at the initial moment, but then lost their amazement, that God could have retracted His blessing. God's looking for a church with the character to stay amazed. Stay amazed. You say, what's the difference in the churches that have a short-term, two-month revival and the ones that can have it year after year after year after year after year? I believe there are some people sitting in the pews where God has not become old hat to them. I believe that they walk into church and say, God did it again today. God was here today. Somebody got saved today. Somebody's life got changed today. Somebody got healed this week. Somebody got something they needed today. And they came week after week after week after week and said, my God's a good God. My God's still active. My God's still moving. Let me ask you a question. Are you a contributor to God still having his hand on this church? Or do you sit there like a bubble and watch, I've just seen it all before. I've seen it all before too, but I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed. The amazement is not determined by this preacher or what God's doing. It's determined by you. Are you amazed? Stay amazed. Stay amazed at the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Stay amazed at God's healing power upon your body and the bodies of others. Stay amazed at how God changes lives. Stay amazed, my friend. Stay amazed at the mighty power of the Holy Spirit of God. You stay amazed. Stay amazed that riches can't buy heaven. Stay amazed. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. Stay amazed that riches can't buy heaven. Matthew chapter 19, verse 24 and 25, it says, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. They were amazed. See, here a rich young man seeks salvation. And Jesus says, well, you need to sell what you have and give it to the poor. Jesus knew that this man's true God was his money. And Jesus just wanted the man to put his full 100% faith in Christ and to remove his real God. This young man's real God was money. And Jesus said, you're going to have to trust me. That's how you get saved. And Jesus was correct about this because this young man said, I'm going to sell everything I have. Jesus said, you don't really want me. You already have what you want. And the guy walked away. But the Bible says here that when Jesus presents this thing of money's not going to get you to heaven, nothing else is going to get you to heaven, I love it. These people were amazed. You know something? You and I better just be amazed at the fact that salvation's free. What would you pay for it? Think about it. We'd have to work our whole life, every penny, everything that we ever got our hands on. And then we couldn't even come up with a down payment on what salvation is valued at. I mean, how do you pay for eternity? How do you pay for heaven? How do you pay for its bliss? You nor I could qualify. We couldn't get the money together. I don't care how rich you are. You don't have enough money to buy what heaven makes available to us. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm amazed. Jesus looked down. He said, it's not going to cost you a penny. I'm going to pay the bill in full. You just put your faith in me. I'll take care of the rest. Wow. Wow. Money can't, it didn't, and it won't buy salvation. Stay amazed. Stay amazed. Stay amazed. Hey, paid for in full by somebody else. It's amazing. Hey, salvation is an amazing gift. Stay amazed if you're saved. You know something? You're as saved right now as you were the moment that you trusted Jesus Christ. Now, there were some of you, when you got born again, you got up off your knees and said, oh boy, this is great. I really like this. This is marvelous. Guess what? If that was 40 years old, you can get up again today and say, boy, this is great. This is amazing. Hey, there's no rust on your salvation. Your salvation warranty is not running out. Don't worry. The tires on your side, in your side, the air in the tires of your salvation are not running low. I've got news for you. If you're saved, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved. Are you amazed? Are you amazed? Stay amazed. Stay amazed at the freeness of salvation. Stay amazed that you can't lose it. Stay amazed that God gave his son to take you to heaven someday. Stay amazed that we all get saved the same way. You know something? There's not a plan of salvation for the rich and a different one for the poor. I'm glad of that. I'm glad. I'm glad. Everybody gets saved the same way. Thank God for it. Stay amazed. Not only that, though, I want to recommend to you today that you stay amazed at God's ability to exercise vengeance and wrath. You better stay amazed at it. Our God is a great God. He is a loving God. But I ought to tell you, He has another side. That side is not gone. It's not vanished. Ezekiel chapter 32, verse number 10. I wish I had time to read the entire passage to you. I do not. Ezekiel 32, 10, it says this, "Yea, I will make people amazed at thee, and their king shall be horribly afraid." Let me tell you what's happening here in Ezekiel 32. Ezekiel prophesies the punishment that God plans for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God said, "You are going to undergo a punishment because of your behavior. I will punish you, and everybody around is going to be amazed at what happens to you." That's where you get Ezekiel 32, verse 10, the word amazed in the Old Testament. Why? Because he wasn't doing things the way God wanted them done. If I gave you, and again, I don't have time for all the scripture, but let me show you what the passage says. In Ezekiel 32, verse number 3, this punishment that Ezekiel prophesies upon the king that's going to amaze everybody how God exercises vengeance and wrath upon someone. Ezekiel 32, 3, God said, "You're going to get treated like a fish and you're going to be netted up like an old fish." He says in Ezekiel 32, verse number 4, the first part of the verse, he said, "The birds are going to attack you." He said in Ezekiel 32, verse number 4, part B of the verse, it says the animals of the field are going to come and they're going to eat you alive. He said in Ezekiel 32, verse number 6, "I will water the plants around where you live with your blood." He said in Ezekiel 32, verse number 7, he said, "I will hide the sun from you. I will hide the moon from you." And the Bible says, finally, when you get down to Ezekiel 32, verse number 10, he said, everybody around is going to be amazed. You're going to be netted up like a fish. The birds will attack you. The animals will eat you alive. I'll water the plants with your blood. I'll hide the sun from you. I'll hide the moon from you. You say, why? You better remember something. Your God is a God that is capable of great wrath. Somehow today, we have forgotten that God is still a God that practices vengeance. Matter of fact, it's not my place or your place to practice vengeance. God said, "Vengeance is mine." And you better remember it. He is still a God that practices vengeance. Stay amazed. Don't forget, Christian, this same God that you and I serve is a God that destroyed the world by way of the flood. Now, he said he'd never do it again, but you better stay amazed. Your God can still slay you. Your God could still withhold his blessing. Your God, hey, if I could in modern day vernacular, your God could still slap the snot out of you, buddy. Can we get cocky and arrogant with your God? You better remember he's the one that brought the flood. You better remember Ezekiel prophesied the animals may eat you. You better stay amazed at the memory of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible teaches these are literal cities, and history tells us they were there. And the morality of the cities had deteriorated to the point where sodomy was running rampant. The Bible says that God rained fire and brimstone from the sky, and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Let me tell you, I think you and I ought to stay amazed at the power of God and His ability to have vengeance upon the improprieties and the sins of our day. Hey, maybe I ought to just make sure you understand this. You better make sure you're not fornicating. Better make sure you're not committing adultery. You say, why? You better stay amazed, buddy. God still expects people to be pure and clean. There are people that make mistakes, and I'm not trying to pass some sort of judgment upon you. I'm telling you, you better stay amazed at the power of your God, and God still demands righteousness, and God still demands holiness, and God still demands cleanness. Stay amazed. Stay amazed at what God did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Stay amazed at the fact that the earth could be flooded by our God. Stay amazed at the fact that the dogs ate Jezebel. That long-tongued lust lizard using her power trying to scare the man of God. You know the story. You know the stories. And God had predicted that the day would come when the dogs would eat Jezebel. Just so you know, they did. They ate her. If that happened, anything the Bible says happened, it happened. It happened. You better stay amazed at the power of God. You better stay amazed at God's ability to spank a Christian and to chasten a Christian. He didn't take your salvation away from you. He'll spank you, though. He'll correct you. Stay amazed that God opened up the earth and swallowed up disloyal Korah and thousands of his followers. Stay amazed that God drowned Pharaoh's army for pursuing Moses and the children of Israel. Stay amazed that Ananias and Sapphira dropped over dead in a church service for stealing money from God. Stay amazed. You know what happens? Sometimes we hear those stories, and at the moment when we hear them for the first time, we say, whoa, that's scary. You better still be scared of God. You've just heard it so many times. I heard this. I mentioned the committing of fornication. You young people, they're not married. You keep your hands off of each other. But you've heard me say that so much, this sermon's not going to mean lick to you, is it? Yeah, right. Heard this before. Well, maybe this is the last time God's going to let you hear it before the discipline comes. Stay amazed. I say stay amazed at the power of the preaching of the Word of God, and stay amazed at God's healing power upon our bodies, and stay amazed at how God changes lives, and stay amazed at the mighty power of God that when He uses His power to move men, and stay amazed that riches can't buy you heaven, and it was a free gift, and stay amazed that God can still practice vengeance and wrath. Stay amazed, my friend. Stay amazed. Hey, stay amazed at God's ability to forgive sin. Stay amazed. In Luke chapter 5, verse number 26, it says, and they were all amazed. They glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. What had happened? A lame man needed some healing, and a large crowd got together, and they ended up actually taking off a roof. And Jesus was inside a house, and they lowered this man down through a roof. And the Bible says in that very same chapter in Luke 5:20, and when he saw their faith, that's them lowering this man down through the roof to get him to Jesus, it says, and when they saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to forgive your sins. He wasn't only going to heal the man spiritually, he was going to heal the man physically. So they let this man down. Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there are some Pharisees nearby. They are everywhere. You may be sitting by one right now. The Bible says in Luke 5:21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were right. Jesus was God. They had it right. They were absolutely right. They didn't realize the one that they were stabbing in the back was the one that created their back. He was the creator of the universe, that Jesus, when he turned and said, thy sins be forgiven thee, they decided to mock him and try to tear down his authority and said, who do you think you are? God? He should have sat up and said, you gesture, Chester, you're looking at the living Son of God. You're looking at the virgin-born Son of God, the sinless Son of God. Yes, I can forgive sins. And he did. But you know something? The very same God that forgave those sins is the very same God that forgives yours and mine. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Stay amazed, Christian. Stay amazed. You know the story of the maniac of Gadara? Wild man. Naked, the Bible says. Running in the tombs. Filthy, mongrel, vicious, nasty man. You know something? I don't think the Bible takes him. You know, we don't see the whole story, folks. The maniac of Gadara, they were trying to paint a pretty nasty picture. Can you imagine? I mean, just think of everything you're guilty of that nobody knows about. And he was worse than you. Well, most of you, he was. I believe this was an immoral, nasty, vile, demonic type of a man. The Bible says he ends up hearing Jesus when Jesus rolls into town and he gets born again. The man went from being naked to dressed. He went from being nasty to nice. He went from being lost to saved. He went from being untamable to manageable. He went from hating the things of God to loving the things of God. What had happened? Jesus walked into town and said, watch what I can do with forgiveness. And the next thing you know, the man is dressed and in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. You see, Jesus will forgive you. Christian, have you wandered away from God? He'll forgive you. You need to come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. He said, "Brother Owens, I've done some terrible things." There are only two kind of people in this house this morning, saved sinners and lost sinners. And if you're a saved sinner and you need to get some things right, you use this altar. And don't you be too cocky and arrogant to use this altar and get on your face and say, "God, I've done some things that are wrong." You come to Him and you humble yourself and you say, "God, forgive me." What a forgiving God. What a forgiving God. The Bible tells us that God forgave Saul and helped him in his salvation, then to become a Paul, and God forgave David of his adultery and his murderous ways with Bathsheba's husband Uriah. The Bible says when He saves us and He forgives us of our sins, He puts our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's pretty far. In His forgiveness, He puts our sins in the deepest sea. In His forgiveness, He said, "I'll remember them no more." Hey, stay amazed at the forgiveness of God. And then finally, and I'm finished, I want to say today that I am amazed with my own personal salvation. I'm saved. You can take my sight from me, but you can't take my salvation from me. You can take my ability to walk from me, but you can't take my salvation from me. You can take my joy, I suppose, if I gave you permission to, but you can't take my salvation. You can take my money, but you can't take my salvation. You can take my wife from me, but you can't take my salvation. You can take my children from me, but you cannot take my salvation. You could take my life, but you can't get my salvation. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous. How wonderful. And my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I'm saved. And I know that I am. If you're not, once you get it taken care of today, do you realize something? A miracle could take place today in your life. You could get born again. Let me tell you something. That's amazing. I've got cold chills just thinking about it. That's amazing. Stay amazed, Christian. Get amazed, those of you that need to be born again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.